The Rick Emerson Show welcomes your comments, questions, nude photos, and death threats at Rick Emerson, 2000 Southwest 1st Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97201. This is Hot Talk 1080. KOTK.
All right, 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. People give me the weirdest stuff like this. It's not on the website, by the way. But it's a picture of a man pouring hot pepper spiced homemade alcohol on his genital area. It's in, it's part of a voodoo holiday in Port-au-Prince, Haiti. I don't know why. I mean, I don't know what sins you think you need to be absolved of that you would belong to a religion that wants you to dip your junk in peppered, spiced, homemade alcohol, but I'm just saying. Voodooists go to cemeteries to pray with food, coffee, and peppered alcohol, to light candles, put fresh flowers on their graves, and then, oh yeah, dip their genitals in pepper-spiced, homemade alcohol. And the picture, the picture really is worth like a million words. But normally I wouldn't mock someone who's having, you know, hot pepper spiced homemade alcohol poured on his or her genitals. But it's just that the guy's doing it himself, and so there's a picture of a guy, like kind of pulling his pants out like they do at the airport when they want to check your, and then just with the other hand and the jug and the pouring. And then the expression is one of like, ow, 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 it hurts a lot. Which you'd think like you'd see that coming, you know what I mean? Yeah. So there you go. Anyway, it's Super Emerson Show, bringing you such fine... We see, we've left the lunch hour. I can safely do these things. We're with F. Matt Peterson, Sarah Dillon, Tim Riley in the KOTK Newsroom. Coming up later on today, Clyde Lewis with News at Ground Zero. Today's top five songs from this week in 1985, and they're all terrible. Every one of them. Every one of the songs at today's top five, I think with one exception, they're all flat-out awful. And we'll get to that. We've got a question for Jolie later on, How Chicks Think, with Jolie from the front desk. An issue today, I'll read you a little bit of the email. It goes back to one of Tom Likas' things about men not being friends with women. And it has to do with your man spending an inordinate amount of what might be called pretty private time with another woman, including sleeping over at her house, yet insisting that there's nothing going on. Who would be suspicious of that? So we'll get to that later on. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. We've also got that new Limp Bizkit song we're trying to get to this hour. What else? I don't know. Oh, Guns N' Roses news. We're going to get to that as well. And more from the new Dry County Crook City. It's called The One That Got Away. It's all coming up right after this. It's Tim Riley in the KOTK Newsroom.
And now, it's not just news. It's news with Tim Riley. Live from the newsroom of Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
CBS is pulling a controversial two-part movie about the Reagan family off the air. It has been follows protest and threatening advertising boycott of the miniseries called The Reagans. The network says it's licensing the completed film to Showtime,
pussies,
which is owned by the parent company. CBS in the statement that after seeing the finished film, the network decided it didn't show a balanced portrayal of the Reagans. Well, what don't you... drama does to anybody anyway. CBS also says, as a broadcast network, it has different standards than a pay cable network like Showtime. Conservatives have been urging CBS to dump the movie, saying it's not fair to Ronald Reagan. He's being portrayed by James Brolin. CBS insists it's not bowing to pressure. Reagan's son Michael says he's seen 8 minutes of the series and calls it appalling and absurd.
Showed the goodness in the heart of Ronald Reagan. What they've done is try and strip the heart of Ronald Reagan away. The great thing about my father is his big heart.
The great thing about your father is he can no longer do any damage to anybody because he can only vaguely remember what he had for breakfast 5 minutes later. That's pretty much the big selling point of Ronald Reagan at this point in time. And I don't know that it was really necessarily news to anyone that television tends to fictionalize or dramatize things. This is, I don't think it's the same network that aired the Jessica Lynch story, is it? Is CBS?
Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, I think it is.
So CBS on the one... Let me understand this. So CBS on the one hand will air the Saving Jessica Lynch or whatever the hell, Finding Private Lynch, whatever the hell that thing was called, which we all know, which the Pentagon has all but admitted was... I mean, not only was the movie undoubtedly fictionalized and dramatized, which I don't hold... And I don't hold it against anybody who's making a made-for-TV movie that you dramatize. It's what you got to do. You can't... You know, it's just you got to change and alter certain things and tighten certain things together for dramatic flow and to make it work on the air, and you got to fit it into 88 minutes on the television. But we're not only talking about a story that was dramatized and tweaked a little bit and tailored for television. We're talking about a story that was flat out just made up by the friggin' government. The Jessica Lynch story is, I think, everybody knows now, and it's not like I'm giving away state secrets to say this, and it's not like I'm engaging in some sort of mouthpiece business for the liberal media in America, but we all know that the Jessica Lynch story was just freaking pulled out of someone's ass. We all know that it was cut out of the most threadbare of cloth, completely and totally whole. So they'll actually air a fictionalized version of like an actual lie, of actual real honest-to-goodness propaganda.
Fiction of a lie.
Yeah, but they won't actually show the Ronald Reagan movie, which I think we can, which may take certain liberties with the actual reality of what happened, which I think is probably pretty... I mean, I don't think anybody can look you in the eye and tell you that Ronald Reagan didn't in all likelihood do most of these things that he's depicted doing in the television show. Because I know, even on Showtime, and this is, I don't know if the article says this, but even on the Showtime version, Showtime isn't no better than CBS, because Showtime is trying to step in and look like the big heroes by playing this thing when CBS lacks the stones and the cojones to play it. But Showtime even is cutting a bunch of stuff out. They're cutting that line out where Ronald Reagan is referring to AIDS victims, and he's, he that liveth by sin shall die by sin, or whatever, which I think if you have even a passing knowledge of the Reagan administration, the things that were done under the Reagan administration, the people who held sway over that administration and White House, is not like, completely out of the question. So,
right.
I mean, this is the same administration that spent God knows how many millions of dollars and months preparing the Meese administration's report on pornography, which when it showed exactly what we all knew it would show, which is that pornography doesn't really harm anybody, was sort of shoved down and not really released in its full form by the administration anyway. So, I'm just saying. Didn't it take Reagan like 2 years or something to even say the word AIDS out loud in public?
Yeah.
I mean, it was like two and a half years after AIDS had become a public health issue that he even said the word out loud in public in any of his speeches. So to say that he might have taken a dim view of homosexuals who contracted AIDS is not really like the biggest leap of freaking, creative faith or anything. So for CBS to try to act like it's anything other than just political kowtowing is, I mean, a lie that is so transparent as to be insulting to everybody who hears it.
Anyway, Al Sharpton is hosting Saturday Night Live, December 6th, with Pink as the musical guest. The spokesman said he indicated he was, for the first time, nervous. Although none of Sharpton's rivals for the Democratic nomination has been on the show, at least three have been depicted.
I love Al Sharpton. I love that guy. I love him. I love his hair. I love the way he talks. I love the way he dresses. He doesn't rhyme as well as Jesse Jackson, but then which of us does? That guy's got style. He's got both the fire and the brimstone. I'll vote for Al Sharpton for anything. Al Sharpton could come here, run for any office in Portland. I'd vote for him. I'd vote for him twice.
I think he'd win here with no problem.
He probably, that's the thing is, like, Portland, this is the problem. He's a guys like Al Sharpton. They never pick the right places to run. Because you're right. If that guy came here, he would win in the blink of a freaking eye. That guy would probably be governor inside of 10 years. All right, they never listen to me.
Time for the penis watch.
Here's your penis watch for Tuesday.
Look at my enormous penis. And my troubles start a-melting away.
Da-da-da.
I take a look at my enormous penis. And everything is going my way.
Da-da-da.
A woman who cut off her husband's penis walks free from court. A pregnant Vietnamese woman has been given a suspended jail sentence for cutting off her cheating husband's penis. This fellow said she used a pair of scissors to cut off his penis. After he threatened to divorce her, the 31-year-old told the court in Lam Dong he slapped
Lam Dong. Right. Tell me that's not really the name of the place where it took
Lam
place.
Lam Dong. L-A-M-D-O-N-G.
Okay.
He slapped her after she refused to buy him more wine, and then threatened to divorce her. The defendant said the husband's marital affairs were the cause of the disagreements. So, the woman cut off her 38-year-old husband's penis as he lay drunk in bed, but after seeing how badly he was bleeding, she took him to a hospital for treatment. She ended a 20-month suspended sentence because she had shown remorse and was 7 months pregnant.
Here's my thing, is that there's a couple things you should never do. One is you should never have your penis out arguing with a woman who's holding a pair of scissors. Two, really, it's just that. Really, if you just stick with that rule, that if your woman's upset about you putting your penis somewhere that you shouldn't be, and then she's got a pair of scissors also and you're nude and drunk, it's probably best just to give it a sort of curt yes, dear, and move on to, whatever else you're going to do.
That's
your,
today's penis watch.
Penis watch for Tuesday. Whoa, what was...
Well, let's see.
And that was unexpected.
All right. Well, we'll
take a look at my enormous penis, and my troubles start melting away. I take a look at my enormous penis, and everything is going my way.
Well, a German man who survived 5 days in the Alps in freezing temperatures by eating snow has been fired because he missed work. Engineer Thomas Millick received written notification of his dismissal from Schroeder and Junkin, while doctors at the hospital were deciding whether or not to amputate 6 of his frostbitten toes. He designs helicopters. It was airlifted to safety. He found himself stuck in the Alps. When a sudden snowstorm swept in, he was eventually rescued 5 days later. Speaking from his hospital bed, I'm a bit of an adventurer and definitely an outdoors man. I hate being indoors. On weekends, I usually try to get out and about. For this particular reason, I decided to tackle something on a bad day. Anyway, his employer says, we only hired him for a period beginning of October, and he was still on trial.
You can't fire a guy after he's been stranded in the Alps for a week.
It's they just, do in Germany. They just don't put up with it here.
It's like he has our union or something.
That's the end of that. Let's talk about what's on TV tonight. You're going to be seeing some real tears and real emotion tonight when John Ritter's death is dealt with on 8 Simple Rules. The Hennessys learn that Paul has suddenly died. Kate's parents, played by James Garner and Suzanne Plachette, come over to cheer things up. Amy Davidson, who plays Paul's daughter on the show, said the emotions they show are just what they were really feeling. The episodes were taped 2 weeks ago without a studio audience. It'd be better if Bob Newhart showed up.
If they just, or, you know, if they would just cancel the show and not think that the appearance of Suzanne Plachette... Does anybody... Sarah, do you even have the vaguest idea who Suzanne Plachette is?
I don't.
You never watched Gilligan's Island, either.
James Garner?
Yeah, I know who James Garner is.
Who's James Garner?
I don't know. I know the name.
Okay, so not so much. So there you go. So you know James Garner kind of like Justin New, Hazy Shade of Winter. This is... I even tell that?
Yeah, you can tell the story.
Simon and Garfunkel was on Sunday, right? And so the second song they played, either second or third, they came and they played Old Friends. And I think the second song they played, they bust out Hazy Shade of Winter, which is a great song. You know, just really was, you know, rocking about as hard as Simon and Garfunkel can rock at their advanced age. But it was really just this great fiery rendition, just this hard-hitting rendition of Hazy Shade of Winter. And we're all, like, loving it. And of course, what does Justin turn to Sarah and say? Justin, who we adore on the show, is a great guy, great band, plays the great punk rock for the kids that we like so much. But about halfway through Hazy Shade of Winter, Justin turns to Sarah and says, I wasn't aware that Simon and Garfunkel played cover songs. Ba-do-ba. Of course, thinking that they're covering the Bangles, because that's what you'd do if you were Paul Simon. You'd go to Susanna Hoffs to, you know, try to find some material to fill your lackluster oeuvre.
Well, he gave the words to the song, at least.
Well, I'm just saying. So there you go. So the next time you feel bad about your musical knowledge, you know, I'm just saying, no, I mean, Justin knows a lot of stuff that I don't know. Justin's got a lot of punk knowledge. Justin knows a lot of things about a lot of things.
Just not so much about Simon.
I'm just saying, yeah, the next time that you can't identify Stairway to Heaven on the radio or something, just know that you're probably not alone there. That's the only point I'm making. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Pamela Anderson guests on Less Than Perfect tonight. And Fox has back-to-back episodes of 24, whatever that is. Card game or something?
No, 24 is now, are they in the third season of that? It's not so Kiefer Sutherland, is it?
Isn't that the one? Yeah, I think
so. All right, wouldn't you think at this point in Jack Bauer's life, he'd be going to some sort of a telephone psychic or something to figure out why his life goes so friggin' badly every year? Don't you think that he'd try to be doing a little investigating to figure out why people are always... It's like John McClane. At a certain point, you've just got to retire because you know that you've just become like a crap magnet. You know what I mean?
Oh, listen to this. Morpheus Lawrence Fishburne and the people of Zion prepare for battle of their lives as Neo, Keanu Reeves, fights Mr. Smith, Hugo Weaving, in the final installment of The Matrix Revolution. Lawrence talks about if they visited The Matrix when they were making Part 2 and 3.
I mean, it was, you know, we've been there, we've done that. That's with us. That was with us. There's no sense in going back to figure it out. I mean, we had to go forward and stay inside the story and inside the moment. Going back wouldn't have served us.
It must be tough to say goodbye to Morpheus.
Not at all. No, I mean, listen, I've been doing this a very long time. I'm very practiced at taking characters on and then letting them go.
SUVs are being recalled. Honda recalling more than 650,000 minivans and SUVs and sedans because of a defect that allows drivers to remove the key from the ignition when it isn't in park. There have been 25 crashes and more than 100 complaints about the defect caused by excessive ignition switch wear. In many cases, drivers apparently assumed the vehicles were in park because they were able to remove the key. In one case, a rolling SUV caused a multi-vehicle accident. That usually doesn't happen with a Honda.
By the way, I want to say that we got we have this Guns N' Roses story we wanted to talk about a little bit. And this is from E! Today. This is coming out, what is today? The 4th? So a week from yesterday. Three Guns N' Roses DVDs will be released November 10th. One of which is called Welcome to the Videos. Contains 13 of the group's music videos. It's got the Welcome to the Jungle and Sweet Child of Mine and whatnot. The other DVDs are the concert films Use Your Illusion 1 and Use Your Illusion 2. Do you realize now it has been 10 years that Axl Rose is in a studio? You talk about the very definition of a freaking money pit, man. You know, Geffen is just ruined the day they ever gave that guy creative control. He's been working on this upcoming, for those of you that were like five when this started, I mean, really, here, let me put it in perspective for you. Sarah was 13 when Axl Rose went in to start work on the new Guns N' Roses record. I mean, she was 13, you would have been how old, 8th grade, probably, 8th or 9th?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, so Sarah was just barely starting high school when Axl Rose went into the studio to start work on the newest Guns N' Roses record. Sarah has finished high school. She is enrolled in college. She has consumed thousands and thousands and thousands of square liters of alcohol, I think. I guess you can't really have a square liter. You know, it's a lot. She graduated. She's come here. She's done an internship. She's quit her internship. She's come back, and she's been employed for a year, and Axl Rose is still in the studio trying to, like, tune a guitar or a zither or something for the new Guns N' Roses record. In the name of God. Anyway, just put it out or reunite, just to one of the two. Anyway, I'll still buy it. I'll still buy it. Point it out. I'll still buy it. He'll come to town with that traveling freak show that he has the temerity to call Guns N' Roses, and I'll go see it because I'm a big Tool. Anyway, so that's coming on next week. Hey, still ahead, we got today's top five. We got Clyde Lewis with News at Ground Zero. How Chicks Think with Jolie from the Front Desk. Stay there. We'll be back. It's a Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere.
Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
No, I'm not trying to impugn Justin's knowledge, like, of music as a whole.
Yeah, you were.
I'm saying there's certain blind spots that I think that Justin has music.
Well, I think we definitely help each other out. Like, yeah. I know a lot about certain types of music.
Well, yeah, because you're all with the Simon and Garfunkel and the Pink Floyd. Like, had he ever listened to Pink Floyd before?
No,
I met
he was
you?
Under the impression that he had hated them before. Like, see, I think a lot of people just don't give that music a chance if they're, you know, like my age.
Yeah.
If they haven't listened to it, you know, throughout high school and all
yeah.
that good stuff.
So, I'm just saying. I mean, so, you know, you're the perfect couple in the sense that you complement each other's, you know.
You're digging yourself out of a hole.
I'm not trying to be insulting. I'm just saying. All right, here's Sarah with the traffic.
From the KOTK Newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
Good afternoon, 126. Tim Riley with news brought to you by the Winterhawks. Thursday night fun continues with your Winterhawks at Hat Trick Thursday. Be at the Rose Garden Thursday night. See what $2 gets you. Hot dogs, sodas, and more. Don't miss the fun. Tickets at Ticketmaster or Winterhawks.com. Mark Ruffalo plays a detective investigating the murder of a young lady in the gritty film The Cut. His relationship with a lonely, book-smart woman, Meg Ryan, is the focus of a story and her belief that he may be the killer. We ask Mark of his opinion of cops. How it's changed now that he's played one.
Yeah, I just have a deeper kind of understanding of them. I'm not afraid of them anymore when I see them on the streets, you know. You know, with knowledge comes a certain kind of... I have a more informed opinion about them. I definitely respect the good ones. I think it's really tough to be a good cop, and we don't hear about them very much.
Tell us about the intimate scenes with Meg Ryan.
It really looks good on the screen. I mean, it looks pretty real, you know. I was surprised by how sort of emotionally bare it is and honest. You know, it's not so much what we're doing. I don't think. I mean, we've certainly seen this kind of stuff in other movies. What I think is so striking about it and what really is making people maybe feel uncomfortable is how intimate they seem, you know, together.
Yeah, all right. Chance of drizzle this afternoon. Highs about 45. Partly cloudy tonight. Lows 25 to 35. Breezy and cloudy tomorrow. Tim Riley, KOTK News.
Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
CD just came out this last weekend, right? Yeah, it just came out. The CD release party was Saturday. Yeah, it comes out. Yeah, it's probably in stores now. So go to drycountycrooks.com. Dry County Crooks, not Cooks. Many people insist on calling them the Cooks. Drycountycrooks.com for more details on this. This is... I mean, I know bands hate being compared to other bands, but this is like full-on social distortion territory here. Which is nothing but a compliment.
I'm feeling a little bit of Dropkick Murphys, too.
I can see that. Boy, that God, that's good.
No politician, I'm no bleeding heart. I'm not out to change the world. I wouldn't know where to start. I thank God for what I got.
No, it sounds almost funny, but yeah, take social distortion and put Johnny Cash as the lead singer.
Yeah, that. But they've got a little bit of that kind of whiskey-soaked Irish thing kind of going in the front. This is officially my new favorite song. Aw, and he references his daughter. That's he can get chicks. Because, see, he's a tough guy with a heart of gold. He's a tough guy with a soft, sensitive side. So this is... By the way, you know, earlier we were talking about the Dry County Crooks, which, and I can't overstate the greatness of this CD. The One That Got Away is what it's called. But we referred to them, okay, I just got to say, I just got to tell you an embarrassing story here. This is how lame we, that is to say, I am. We were having this whole discussion earlier about how to list off the guys in the band. Because I know that they had a guy left, and then they got a different drummer, and a guy choked on vomit. There was this whole thing with the lineup. But you look on the inside of the case, and there's, you know, our friend Paul, and there's Vinny, and there's Howie, and then there's this guy in drums. And you tell me how you pronounce this name. C-H-E-O. Which sounds like a nickname for some sort of a cheesy snack food of some kind. But it's C-H-E-O. Now, is it K-O? Is it Chio? Is it Cahio?
Or Cheo?
Cheo?
I guess K-O?
I don't know. But I didn't want to name everybody in the band but him. I didn't want to go Paul and Vinny and Howie and... You know, it's totally like fake it. And I didn't want to go, you know, Paul and Vinny and Howie and guy with the ethnic name that I can't pronounce. So I had nothing. So instead I just...
Doesn't Vinny's picture look like Uncle Cracker?
Yeah, he really does. So I didn't... So I just did it the other way around. I just said Paul and the rest, doing kind of a little first season Gilligan's Island thing there. So anyway, so to Paul and Vinny and Howie and... The guy, the drummer... and unknown, unpronounceable band member... Cheo? Is that how you pronounce it? His name is Cheo. Whatever happened to be named Zeke? You know? Nobody's named Zeke anymore. Well, anyway.
Don't be ignorant.
What about Filbert? You know what I mean? And Mallard. All right, anyway.
Mallard?
Cheo. Cheo? Cheo.
Cheo.
Cheo. sounds like we're speaking gibberish now. Now, see, it sounds like we're talking in Ubba Dubba language or something. Cheo, there you go. All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. See, now, I've, though, just gone through all this discomfort so you don't have to. So now when you tell your friends about the Dry County Crooks or you meet them, like you're at a gig, you see them and go, Cheo, brother, and totally just be like your boys, not have to go through this whole hideous machination of finding out how to pronounce the name. Let's forget this entire thing ever happened. I'm just going to move forward, which we're going to do. Hey, we got the new Limp Bizkit, which we're going to play here in just a second, the cover of Behind Blue Eyes, which we were all begging them to do. For years, I've been saying, you know, I'm tired of that quality version by The Who. I'm tired of this decent, good, classic rock that was perfect. It had nothing wrong with it and didn't need to be recreated in any way. What I really want is I want a subpar white rapper to come out and release his own version of an unassailable Who classic, because then my life will be complete, except for slamming my scrotum in a refrigerator door over and over and over again and then setting fire to my ear hair. So we'll play that later on. We got Todd sent me this article from CNN. Leeches help with arthritis pain. Dateline, and this is from Yahoo News. Yeah, Yahoo is republishing a CNN article. It's from CNN. Treatment with leeches may reduce pain and stiffness in patients with arthritis of the knee, German scientists report. And I swear to God, accompanying this article is a picture of a woman with leeches all over her face. I have not posted this at the website yet. I'll try to do that later on. But here's the thing. It says modern-day medicinal use of leeches is limited to the treatment of blood clotting problems after surgery. Were you aware that they were using leeches for anything? Were you aware that there was any sort of a medicinal use of leeches in the year 2000? Imagine going into the hospital, you know, and Kaiser Permanente has hooked you up with some sort of, you know, you got some sort of an ailment or something, and you go in and the doctor's got, you know, like a bowl of leeches next to the bed. Who are you going to, would you take that seriously? Wouldn't you ask for like a second and third and fifth opinion if the doctor wanted to be putting leeches on your face? Wouldn't you assume that you were like on a new episode of Punked or something? In what world would you let the doctor put leeches on your face? It's like when he decides to tell you that there's a small gnome living in your stomach that's causing your intestinal upset or what, you know, whatnot. What I got is you got your leeches and your fire. I've got some fire that to drive out the small gremlin living inside your brain. Also a bone saw. Anyway.
Dr. Emerson's cure-all, you know, ointment.
Or elixir. Dr. Pemberton's pick-me-up. What you want to do is you want to take some of this and drink 3 gallons of it a day. All right. We're going to do... Okay, I'll tell you what we're doing. I've just wasted so much time trying to figure out how to pronounce the goddamn drummer's name from the Dry County Crooks that we're just going to move on. We're going to come back here in a short while. We're going to talk to Julie from the front desk with How Chicks Think. Later on, we got that today's top five. Also, Clyde Lewis with News at Ground Zero. Tell me these people aren't calling about leeches. Tell me these are not... These are not leech calls. I don't want to know. You know, can I just tell you this? It's outside the lunch hour, so can I tell you something that's a little gross? I'm going to tell you something that you may not want to know.
If we say no, will you stop now?
No. My mom, you know, was an ER nurse for a long time. She's still a nurse, but I mean, she doesn't work in the ER anymore. But my mom is, you know, she's done it all. My mom has worked in the psych ward, and she's worked in the ER, and she's worked in the EKG center and the EEG center and all that stuff. And my mom, when I was a kid, I don't know whether it was to try to, like, keep me out of trouble or to keep me from injuring myself and ending up, you know, like in a burn ward or whatever. But my mom used to just tell me the most horrific medical stories, and always at dinner time. You think I'm bad? Where do you think I picked up the proclivity for telling horrible stories while people are trying to eat? You know, the predilection for telling terrible stories in my family did not begin with me. Because I always got the don't do drugs stories about that. And then he cut off his weenus with a butter knife and tossed it into a blender. You know, and it's like, why would you tell me that?
See, my dad got the medical magazines with the pictures of the people with the sores.
Really?
Yeah, and they would be laying all over our house.
Here's the smallpox. You don't want to catch this. Here's skin sloughing off, and you know, and it's like, why, Dad? Why are you doing this to me? Well, I want you to stay away from the pot, you know. And it doesn't make any sense at all. My mom had this guy come in one time who injected peanut butter into his vein because he like had no, he'd run out of smack, you know. Sarah's all grossed out. I love the idea of actually doing heroin as a repellent, but, you know, doing peanut butter.
I hate needles to begin with.
Well, that's me. That's why I'd never do it. I mean,
But peanut butter?
But the guy had, like, run out of stuff to shoot, you know, and apparently he'd injected all the whatever, Clorox or... Let's talk about this for a second. Do you ever think about this? What exactly is the hierarchy of things in your house you would inject? If you're a junkie, call us, because I want to know this. If you're a junkie or a heroin user, or have been, call 503- 250-1080, 503-250-1080, or 1-800-727-5955. I'm curious to know this. When you run out of like, heroin, what is it that you go to in the house, and in what order? Like, do you start with like, Ivory soap? Or do you start with, like, aspirin? Do you grind up aspirin and inject that, and then Jack Daniels? And then you're
injecting... Yeah, it was Motley Crue did Jack Daniels, right?
But, I mean, do you start with that, or is that, like, after you've injected whatever, like Mr. Bubble or something? I mean, is there, like, an order of foreign substances you inject into your body? Like, you've got it all planned out, and I don't know. Dude, we're almost out of smack. No, it's okay. I got some lemon-scented joy under the sink. Well, what about when that runs out after that cascade? You know, well, what about then? I got some Chex Mix. We're going to grind it up with lighter fluid. You know, I mean, these are the things I wonder about. So if you're a smack user, call us. I want to know this. What we're going to do. Oh, in the meantime, here's what this is from the soundtrack of something, right?
I think it's actually on their new album, but based off the video, it's probably going to be on the soundtrack for Gothica.
All right, so from the soundtrack for Gothica and from their new album, which is called...
Can't remember.
It's called, like, No Purchase Necessary. Results May Vary or
Results
something.
May Vary. That might be right.
Results
yeah.
May Vary. Here's those crazy kids in Limp Bizkit with, it hurts me even to say it, with Behind Blue Eyes on the Rick Emerson Show.
No one knows what it's like to feel these feelings like I do. And I blame you. No one bites back as hard on their anger. None of my pain will can show through.
This sounds exactly like the song from like 1990 called Love Is On The Way by Saigon Kick. Oh man, I wish I had that Saigon Kick song on.
He's really feeling the music.
Yeah, you can tell he's tortured. He's an anguished poet. What are they? Are they like a Stained cover band now or something? I mean, it's implied. The error is implied.
Discover.
I know this is part of the song. I know. I read a whole thing about this. This is part of the... Using a speaking spell.
Discover L-I-M-P?
I know that. It's a commentary on his lost youth and his tortured attempts to regain the youthful innocence.
By ruining a song that he loved from his childhood.
Hey, don't you...
That whole section's not in the video.
I wonder why. I wonder if they could release an edit of this that was just like 4 seconds long. That'd make people happy. Hey, Fred, aren't you a big fan of The Who?
Yeah.
You grew up listening to The Who, right, Fred? Yeah, I did. You know what would be great? You know what would be a great tribute? What? Let's ruin one of their songs. Yeah.
And put a speaking spell in the middle of it.
I've got a genius idea. Let's destroy a classic rock song and have Stephen Hawking do a breakdown in the middle of it. This sounds just like Save Your Love by Great White, too. This is like Bad Cover Week on the Rick Emerson Show.
Like I said yesterday, it's not good, but it's not as bad as I was expecting it to be with him singing.
He's not rapping it, at least.
Yeah.
He's not doing that, you know, thing that he does.
Well, I was expecting when I heard that they had done it, like, it was going to be like the Faith cover of George Michael.
Wait, here's the breakdown. Let's see if he raps during this. Oh, not yet.
No, just... Oh, I bet this is the end. I bet he just ends it here.
To be the sad man.
He's the saddest of clowns, Fred Durst.
Behind blue eyes.
Yeah, it's so touching. All right, there you go. There's the new Limp Bizkit song. All right, we'll be back. It's the Rick Emerson Show on Hot Talk 1080 KTK.
Live from Portland, it's Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Oh, God, no.
Got an opinion? Pick up the phone and call. Lines are open at 503-250-1080 or 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Will this deep voice come over the airwaves? Struck a nerve, you know I had to stop.
All right, it's 503-250-1080-400 or 1-800-727-5955. We got this, Rick. Why in the name of all that is holy did you feel it necessary to relentlessly torture us with that hideous vanilla arrangement of one of the greatest rock classics of all time? Why? Why? May you rot in hell. There you go. I'll acknowledge, it's not like the worst thing I've ever heard. But, I mean, that's the problem, is it's just pointless.
That's all I was saying yesterday. It's not, okay, that song in its original, you know, version is like, it's flawless. So right. Doing a cover, you're instantly going to be worse than what you're being compared against. But for Fred Durst, it wasn't as bad as I expected.
Yeah, that's like saying...
I mean, that's not really a good compliment, but it wasn't as bad as I expected it to be when I heard that he had done it.
You know what it is? But when you're Fred Durst and you do a good song, it's like winning a gold in the Special Olympics, you know? It's like a child with crippling brain damage being able to tie his shoes. It's not really, like, the greatest of accomplishments, but it's all relative. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show for another exciting and endearing edition of How Chicks Think. It's our good friend, Jolie, from the front desk. How are you, sister?
Oh, I'm good. I have a really quick question to ask you.
Yeah.
I was working last night, and so this guy says, man, the Blazers are getting stuck in the backside of the tit tonight.
What? Whoa, whoa, whoa!
Oh, I can't say that?
No.
Oh, my God. Every day we go through this.
Why? Okay. Why?
The bosom!
Okay. Why is it that of all the people on this show, the people on this show include but are not limited to me, I mean, enough said, Matt Peterson, who's, you know, kind of a redneck kind of guy, Sarah, who's, you know, sort of, well, I mean, she's drunk a lot of the time anyway, and, you know, who's kind of the, you know, Sarah's edgy in her own right. We've got, I mean, my point is we're surrounded by people that are relentlessly profane and terrible individuals. But you are the one who comes on and says stuff every day that I have to bleep.
Well, it's
you
such
a... It was the first sentence out of your mouth. You weren't even on the show 10 seconds.
My,
I had to start bleeping.
The
stuff.
Whole concept and area of my segment is
you
about...
You cannot use that... You cannot use that term for the female breast.
Okay, I'm sorry. I haven't been on the air as long as you have, Rick, you know.
No, but you have, like, a brain.
Well,
I mean...
You know, you can say ass, and you can say...
What?
The P word. Right?
Yes.
Yes, you can say that,
you know. Well, that's because
and you can say bitch, and can I say jack?
No, okay, let's just stop now. This is a game I don't want to play, because we're playing Jolie Roulette.
But anyways, I just wanted to know what that meant.
Okay. Since no one heard it, okay. The phrase was that the Blazers were
sucking
the backside of, and then you used a word that is a reference to the female bosom that I can
remember. T-word.
I really don't know. But let's just
bosom.
Let it... You know what? Let's let it be a mystery. You know? It's just going to be one of those things where the allure is in the mystique. All right?
Man, you can never help me.
You know?
All this help I give you every day.
I really don't... Yeah. I really think that some... You know, it's... Saying that I can't help you is kind of the understatement of all...
But shut up.
Sister.
You're such a jerk.
Yeah, all right. Okay.
Anyways.
I've got this... Yes? Can I read the question now?
Sure you can. I'm
now
ready.
Now that we've consumed... We never get this segment... When is the last time... Because this... You come on about 1:45 every day. When is the last time we brought you on, got the question read, got the question answered, and finished before the top of the hour?
Well, maybe you should start it a little earlier.
Maybe you shouldn't come on and like immediately start making me bleep things and then asking me questions. Can I say jackhole?
Well, maybe
air,
you could
you know?
Convert... You can... Confer with me on which words I can and cannot say and have my list right here.
How about you don't say anything to me you wouldn't say to your mother? All right?
Then I wouldn't be talking about anything I'm talking about.
Well,
ever.
That is a fair point. All right. And nothing to do with maggots. Ever. All right. Just... All right. I don't even have any time. How long
yes,
do I have?
Yes, you do.
Okay. Look.
You've got about a minute.
Look, Mom, you just stay over there.
You
all
can
right.
read the question, at least.
All right. I will read now. The question says, my question is for Jolie and the audience. It harks back to one of Lycus's mantras about men not being friends with women.
Let's say that a man and woman live together. They're obviously together as boyfriend and girlfriend. The boyfriend has friends and acquaintances because of his job and is often out with co-workers or friends or clients. He's taking a liking to a particular woman, has been spending a lot of time on the phone, helping her with errands, going to social events with her, and has slept over at her house, although he swears it was on the couch. He says he likes the woman only as a friend, and that nothing sexual has occurred. I think I hear the collective groans of everyone listening to this, but what do you think? Has his friendship with this woman crossed the line, and how do you determine with your significant other where that line is?
Wow.
And then I'm...
I like this question.
Neil and Emma. Okay, so I'll tell you what. So think on that one. I feel like we're doing IBM's You Make the Call. So you think on that one. We'll come back. We'll get your thoughts. More phone calls. Klein Lewis Top 5. It's all in the way. Stay there. We'll continue on the other side.
What a girl wants.
From the KOTK Newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
201, Jim Riley with the news, brought to you by Northside Ford, exclusively trucks, located at 63rd and Northeast Columbia Boulevard in Portland. Looks like not too many people are showing up to vote. It's below 50%, and that means the future of PGE may be undecided. About 30% have turned out to vote so far. Anyway, 1,000 of Portland State University students upset. More than 2,000 have yet to receive federal financial aid to help pay for tuition, books, and living expenses. And classes started more than a month ago. Educators say the backlog is a result of staffing problems. A February trial date has been set for a New York City cop on sex abuse charges. They involve a 17-year-old Corvallis High School student he later married. Matthew DeGennaro has pled innocent. He's been charged with encouraging child sex abuse and using a child in a display of sexual conduct. Maybe some flurries for the hills this afternoon and tonight. High temperatures about 45 and drizzle for the rest of us. Partly cloudy tonight. Lows 25 to 35. Tim Riley, KOTK News.